Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
Welcome back to the H3 Podcast Live. Every Friday, except when it's not Friday. Except when it's not at 3. At twitch.tv/H3Productions. Today's guest is the biggest name in YouTube tech reviews with nearly 6 million subs. He's the guy I always go to when I want tech info. That's real. Whether it's smartphones, cars, laptops, cameras, this guy covers it all. I feel like I'm doing a copyright.
I know.
I love it.
So go to MKBHD/H3
for 10% off. No, he is the excellent and wonderful Marquise. Did I say it right? No,
Marquez.
I always call you Marcus.
I don't say my name much in the actual videos. Right. No one usually knows it, but yeah, Marquez.
Marquez Brownlee. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you for
having me. It's 7 p.m. currently for everyone watching on YouTube, so you came out here at the end of a long day to come spend time with us, which I appreciate. What have you been up to today?
Today and most of this week has been we're shooting a video on Tesla Model 3.
So
we had a lot of game planning. It takes a lot to shoot a car video because the car, you know, the car is driving, but then you need a person outside the car shooting the car as it's driving. It's a whole thing.
It takes a lot to make it look natural.
Yeah, and it's going to take a lot more in the editing process, but I have faith in it. But that was a lot of today. It was like getting like some fill-in shots of things that I think will help it flow well right up until the sun was going down, and then just came over here.
Was that the purpose for you coming out to L.A.?
That was the main, the main reason for the trip.
Well, for those who listen to the podcast know that I'm a little bit of an Elon Musk fanboy. Okay. I put his dick in my mouth regularly, and I see how deep I can get it.
Yeah.
Are you a fanboy?
I'd say I'm a Tesla fanboy for sure.
Not an Elon fanboy.
Well, I can't bet against Elon. Yeah, I'm an Elon fanboy, I guess. Because I follow most of what he does.
Well, okay, let me start here. What did you think of the Model 3?
Okay, so I own a Model S, so that's my comparison point for a lot of stuff. Very similar, which is good, because when you're buying a car, you want it to live up to maybe a higher car in the same range.
So
it felt familiar. It's pretty quick. It's electric. It's got a front trunk still. All the same stuff you're used to, but there's definitely some weird quirks that I'll talk about in that full video. But like, I think the main thing people are concerned about is the screen. There are zero buttons in the car. The only one that is in the car is required by law is the hazards button. Mm. Kind of shoved it up in the corner. Mm. But everything is just on this one screen in the middle, including your speed, your gear, everything
like
that.
It's unusual.
It's a weird setup.
Yeah.
But they did that because it's self-driving, and eventually you won't really have to worry about that too much. But when you're driving, you kind of have this trained glance down to the side of, like, instead of looking right down at the speed, you look kind of to the side at your speed. Mm. It's a little different.
Mm. You know, I have a Model S.
Yeah.
And one thing, it is bleeding edge, because sometimes I love that car most days, but some days I hate it.
Like today.
Today, the screen wouldn't turn on. Like, I go in and it just doesn't turn on. So that's
I've had to be, like, really late to turn on, but it's never just not turned on.
It didn't turn
just
on
turn
the
on,
whole
turn on.
Way yeah. here.
What did you, and, oh, and, you could still drive. Though.
Yeah.
I was able to drive. I didn't know that. But, like, that concerns me even more in the Model 3 when they're, like, they're
going to
be a little too edgy and put it all on a screen, and then all of a sudden when you're counting too much on that screen, what happens when it doesn't start? You're fucked.
Yeah, there's a lot of edge cases where, like, you got to wonder, like, is it fail-safe? Is it going to work if the screen doesn't work?
Right.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
I was a little worried today. Like, we're driving it, but the screen is not working.
I've never done that.
Well, I remember you had a huge issue with your Tesla when you first got it. What happened
with
that?
Probably a worse problem.
Oh, way worse. It almost made me not want to buy it.
Oh, that was before you bought it?
It was a huge life decision buying a Tesla because, I mean, it's an expensive car.
Right.
But for me, it was as much about supporting the mission statement of supporting EV vehicles, right? But your video made me think twice about it more than anything else. Tell the audience what happened to you.
Okay, so it was essentially it all came down to the power steering. Obviously, power steering is this mechanical, it's fluids and mechanic. I don't know how to describe it exactly, but it helps you steer the car based on the weight of it. So you can change the steering weight. You can have a sporty or comfort steering, all that stuff. But when the power steering fails, it's extremely hard to turn the wheel in any direction because the car is super heavy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what I had was I was driving, went to go turn left across traffic, and midway through my turn, as the wheel is turned like 45 degrees, the power steering cut.
That's
and
awful.
I was cutting across traffic, unable to move the car.
Oh, wow. My God.
This happened once, got it, it snapped back into working again. I finished my drive, pulled over. I got it towed, got it fixed. They replaced the entire steering rack. I was like, all right, that's definitely fixed for sure. Then a couple hundred miles later, it happened again.
Wow.
And
that's
dangerous. That was
dangerous. Really dangerous.
And the second time I think was more dangerous. The first two times were in the same ride where like I was making a left turn, but it wasn't a big deal if I couldn't. The second time was like two cars next to each other, both making the left.
Right.
And I was the inside car.
Oh, no.
And so when it failed, if that guy had also made the left, I would have just T-boned him. Oh, but he went straight.
Damn.
So that was like I immediately pulled over. That's a red flag, obviously. Whenever you have the same issue more than once, they escalate your issue to like definitely solve it. Because three in New Jersey is lemon law. You can give the car back for free.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So they flew out an engineer from here, basically, had him diagnose the problem, and they found a corrosive element in the wiring between the power steering rack and some other part of the car.
So they flew someone to New York.
They flew someone out, to check out my car. That took a couple extra days. The first time it was like one day, we replaced it, you're good. This time it was like, all right, we'll fly someone out. A couple days later, they found out what was wrong. They flew out the parts they needed to fix it. It was a whole thing for maybe like a week and a half. They gave me a loaner P100D during those days when I didn't have my car, which was pretty
dope. That's pretty nice service.
Yeah, they get that right.
Well, I mean,
right.
On one hand, it is nice service, but on the other hand, they could have really
exactly. You better have good service if you're putting your life in danger. They fixed that, and they pretty much guaranteed it'll never fail in that exact way again. If it does, it's a lemon, but they say that
so since then, no issues. Mm-hmm. Are you paranoid at all making those left turns? Do you still think about those left turns?
No, dude. I don't want to say reckless, but I'm very confident.
That sounds like reckless. That sounds like you're a maniac on the road.
You have the 100.
You can't help it when you have that power.
Yeah.
I don't have the P100D. That one's insane.
But we both drove it.
I've driven it because we had an issue with our car, and they gave us a loaner P100D. And so in the P100D, which is the highest level model, and the only difference between the P100D and the step down, which is like the 90D, or I guess it's the 100D
now.
We got our. We're straight with that. You guys, come on.
I've memorized the lineup. But
at any rate, the only difference is the acceleration. For example, the one below it goes 0 to 60 in 4.3 seconds, right? Or 4.2.
4.2, I think.
Now the P100D does it in 2.4.
Yeah.
It's a significant difference. Now, when I got that loaner car, I put it in ludicrous mode. You have to that's like a contract saying that, okay, now when you click this button and you're crash fatally, you click the button. Just let the world know.
You decided to do this to yourself.
It's ungodly. And when I drove it, my first thought was like, this is not safe. This is not safe at all.
It's when you have that kind of acceleration, especially not just 0 to 60, but like 30 to 80.
Right.
Or like.
For me, it's all about the 0 to 30 in the Tesla.
I mean, from 0, the only weird stuff you're doing is like at stoplights, or maybe someone pulls up next to you and like wants to race, which doesn't really ever happen. But like, you're on the highway and someone's, you know, there's a gap and you need to get to the exit. Do you slow down and go behind him, or do you accelerate and go in front
of
him?
That car,
99 times out of 99, you're going up and taking the front. So
it actually feels much safer because we also have a Prius, which was our previous car.
Yeah.
And I still drive that one sometimes and I feel less safe.
I feel like I have more control over the car.
That's what it comes down to. So technically, and also this has happened before, the car will, if it sees an impending collision, will try to avoid it. Someone swerves into your lane, it'll swerve a little bit.
Oh, no way. I haven't experienced that.
And if it sees someone coming up behind you, about to rear-end you,
really?
By itself, it'll just kind of juke you forward a little bit just to avoid it. And that's happened to me in my car, and that's definitely
cool. It gave you a little boost?
Yeah. I thought it was broken. That was around the same time that the steering wheel was going a little haywire.
So it saved your ass, and it jeopardized your ass.
Exactly.
It's a wash.
Exactly. So it's not even so far.
So tell me, you said you were in the Model 3, mm-hmm. and it's a lot like the Model S, in your opinion. Do you think the Model 3 is a Model S killer?
Because the price is like...
The price right. is a huge difference. Huge so difference. Like $40,000.
I think the fact that the price difference is so big is actually what keeps it from being a Model S killer. I think there's going to be people who are in the market for a $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 car that aren't going to pick Model 3 because of the lower price. They want a premium car, mm-hmm. and Model S is always going to be that. I think right. it's getting a refresh, rumored in the next year or two, to mm-hmm. update it with a lot of the things that Model 3 is currently better at. Mm-hmm. But I think because the price difference is so big, people who were waiting to buy a Tesla until it was $35,000 are now going to buy that, not a Model
so
S.
So you think just the status symbol alone is enough to keep it alive?
Yeah, I think it's just going to... Basically, having it at that lower price is just going to open doors for way more people to buy it.
Well, I hope that they do distinguish the difference, because...
Yeah. They're pretty clear in their messaging. I think internally they have a lot of... they're trying to make sure people know Model S is still the better car.
Yeah.
And if the price doesn't say... Yeah, there's features and things. There's two screens instead of one. Like, if you look at Model 3, oh, this is the future, just one screen. But, like... Roadster is going to have two. Like, their mm-hmm. higher-end mm-hmm. stuff is still going to have two machines and two right. because they can afford it. I think they may have wanted to do a heads-up display with, like, you know, maybe having the speed on the windshield or something like that. All kinds mm-hmm. of interesting things that they mm-hmm. couldn't do because of the lower price
right.
that they do in the Model S.
Right. Yeah. Do you think that Tesla will be able to achieve all of its goals? The goals of the company is huge. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of doubters and naysayers of what Tesla is doing. And naturally. And to be frank, they haven't been off to a great start with their Model 3 launch. Yeah. But they ended up making like 4,000 when they had promised to make like 50,000. They're yeah. way, 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 way behind. Do you see them succeeding in what they're setting out to do?
I'm always hesitant about the timelines they give.
Sure.
Because Elon and that whole crew is always super ambitious about, like, yeah, we'll do this in this year. Mm-hmm. And, like, the Roadster is the same thing, 2020. Yeah, right. Like, that's going to be at least a couple years after that, I think. But I think the actual goals they're setting, they're eventually hitting them mm-hmm. when people are mm-hmm. saying, like, they weren't going to hit them at all.
Yeah.
So stuff like production of Model S, which has been ramping up kind of the same way, like, Model 3 is at the beginning of that climb.
Right. Sure.
And they kind of mapped out that climb with Model S, and I think they sold their 200,000th Model S last year, which people never thought they would do.
Sure, yeah.
So, you know, it might not be the same. People call it Elon time.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's literally, it goes all the way down to, like, the time of the event. Like, he'll get on stage at 5 o'clock, and it's 5:03, and we're like, yeah, maybe 5:30.
That's funny.
So, timelines, not so much, but I think they eventually get
they'll get there.
Yeah.
Interesting. I hope so. I think there's so much demand for the Model 3. A fully electric, it's a great car. And what
400
is
something thousand orders already?
400. Wow. That's crazy. So which, like, is a lot. If he can actually sell it, I feel like the demand is infinite. If he can actually meet the production before other companies do, because everybody's he kind of opened the floodgates in terms of
that's
electric vehicles.
That's a weird thing. I've been looking more into car stuff since I've started doing these car videos. And, like, other companies are, like, thinking about getting into electric, and they're, like, promising they're gonna mm-hmm. do it sometime.
Yeah. Right.
But I don't see it yet. Mm. And that's weird to me that these, like, 100-year-old companies, I mean, I guess they're just kind of a huge ship and they can't be as agile, but they're behind.
It's insane. Say what you will about Elon, because there's a lot of people that dislike him. And I think it's just a lot of contrarians who are like, oh, all these people love him, so I'm gonna hate him. That's a whole nother thing. Mm-hmm. Fuck those people. No, I'm kidding. But seriously, I don't like them. No, I'm kidding.
But for real, though.
But, yeah. Let's just be honest about it.
But, like, come on.
Get real. Yeah. What the hell was I saying? I got distracted by these haters.
Say what you will about Elon.
But that guy is so infinitely far ahead of the game. Like, a legit paradigm shift.
He's so
in
ambitious.
The automotive field. The infrastructure.
I think they're onto something. They're obviously the whole electric car thing. They're stupid far ahead on. Like,
right.
Even if, like, Porsche tomorrow came out with a $70,000 electric car that does everything Model S does, mm-hmm. they don't have the supercharging.
That's
they don't
huge.
Have, you know, the autonomous driving. They don't have like mm-hmm. seven or eight also massive projects that this one car does. So, like, yeah, they're really far ahead.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's unbelievable. And, like, like you said, at the beginning, everyone thought it was a fantasy and a joke, and it wasn't reasonable. But now, if you, when you drive around L.A., I don't know what it's like in New Jersey, but, like, Teslas are dime a dozen here.
Yeah, so I noticed that. I noticed that about 3 out of every 10 cars is a Prius.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then 1 out of every 10 is a Model S, and then everything else. In New Jersey, still a lot of Priuses, not a lot of Teslas, but you still kind of start to see them more. My car was the first P100D on the East Coast, according to Tesla.
Really?
That's what they told me when I ordered it. They were like, congrats, it's right the there. First one. I was like, that's dope.
That is crazy.
But, yeah, you see a Model S or a Model X once in a while, but it still isn't common on the East Coast. And the same thing with superchargers.
Here, it's crazy.
I think there's just, in California and L.A., it's like a combination of a lot of wealth with people who are environmentally conscious.
I think that's what I noticed also about shooting Model 3 now. Model 3 is that unicorn that people haven't seen on the road. So
I haven't seen one. I'm dying to see it.
So the first, I hadn't ever seen one. Well, I saw it at the event, but I hadn't seen one on the road since then. When I got here, walking from the hotel to In-N-Out, I saw the first one that I ever saw on the road. And then, so like, you know, we got the car and we're driving it around and like, you're at a supercharger, so like there's like Tesla enthusiasts just kind of like around, and all of their heads are just kind of like, "Yo, what is that the Model 3?"
Like, they weren't sure.
That's the one? Like, they wanted to know like what's the price of it, what are the options on it? Like all the questions come out because they'd heard about it, but they hadn't seen it.
You know who got a Model 3? Jake.
Right.
Vsauce 3 got a Model 3. I was like, damn, dude, you were fucking early.
Yep.
Because they've only made like a couple thousand of those.
He must have been super early.
Yeah.
Like day of order, maybe.
Did you order a Model 3?
I didn't. I would love to, but I think I'm just going to stick
redundant.
With. Yeah. If I ever have two cars, it would be Roadster and Model S, I think.
So that's another thing I want to say. Tesla came out with another car that you can pre-order, the Roadster. So if the P100D isn't unsafe enough, they're like, here's a car that's even better at possibly killing yourself in, which is the Roadster. And it takes a $50,000 deposit, which you...
Which I happily kicked to Elon's curb,
Damn, boy.
Yeah, man. So the specs, like, again, that's like a, it's more of a projection than an actual product at this point.
It doesn't exist yet, does
it? Yeah, like they drive the one on stage, but that's not like the finished product.
Yeah.
But they gave numbers like, oh, yeah, it'll go 250 miles an hour, and it'll do 0 to 60 in 1.9 seconds.
Whoa.
And it'll have a 200 kilowatt hour battery, but 1. Like, 9. None of that is physically possible 1. Yet.
1.9, that's got to be one of the fastest cars on the road. I mean, what's faster than that?
That would be the fastest production car ever by, like, 20%.
Wow.
Damn.
From 0 to 60.
I'm not kidding. If you do get that car, please drive very safely, because that is not—that is very dangerous. That is not safe.
So I have a lot of. I'll definitely do a video of just like bring. I'll have you guys like sit in the passenger seat and like floor it and see your reactions.
Dude.
I think that's gonna be hilarious. But yeah, I'm gonna have to holster some crazy moves. For
you
sure.
really, dude, that car is gonna be sick. What's the price tag on it? The full price tag.
So there's the base model.
Why even have a base model at that point?
The weird thing is the base model does 0 to 60 in 1.9, and he didn't say what the optioned up version will be.
The option up
goes
to
space. So it's just like aesthetics?
It just
or...
puts wings right on the side.
It just flies
over traffic.
Yeah.
It's 50 grand deposit and then 150 grand
additional.
On delivery. For the base model. And then there's the founders.
It probably sounds weird to say this, but that seems like a reasonable price for what you get.
When you compare it on paper to the cars that everyone else compares it to, they're like, oh, well, it barely keeps up with a Bugatti. But a Bugatti's $2 million.
For Bugatti about it, am I right?
it's so far in a different league. The fastest 0 to 60, that was pretty solid. The fastest 0 to 60, if you look it up on Wikipedia, it's like the Porsche 918 Spyder, the LaFerrari, the Bugatti. All those cars are $1.8 million plus.
Right. $2 million car.
So if you're competing, that's the thing is like people will compare it against that. Like, well, you know, it'll catch it in like the quarter mile.
Sure.
Well, no, this one holds it up in 8.8 seconds. Like, oh, well. At least you have a trunk in this one. Well, this one also has a trunk. Like every time you try to compare it to the best car in some other.
Let's see if he
spec,
can do it.
I'm excited.
Even if it's not
everything they showed on stage, it's still going to be pretty sick.
It's going to be sick. All right, it's about time for our first commercial break, guys. We have got so much more jerking off to do about Elon Musk. You won't want to miss it. and other stuff, obviously, too, but mostly Elon Musk. So, guys, please don't go away. We'll be back shortly. Thank you, guys. Thank you to MeUndies for sponsoring this episode of the H3 Podcast. You want to look good with your significant other this Valentine's Day, and you don't want to just give them another box of chocolates, because frankly, you're not going to get any, most likely. Oh, here's a box of chocolates. I'm just another guy. Please. You got to match to get some. Right, Ela?
Yep.
You got to match to get some. That's the slogan of MeUndies. Check it out. This is a really cool thing that they're doing. Get a matching pair of unique, fun, and powerful undies. Perfect balance of comfortable fit and exciting prints. Do not spend another Valentine's Day giving the same old gift. Go to MeUndies.com/H3 to find the best match. For your match, like your match.
I do really love their Valentine's Day design.
It's beautiful. It's cute.
And
it's
Ethan.
Commemorate your love. Yo, oh, oh.
Ethan, I really like it.
Here's the deal. This undies are so soft and luxurious, you're going to be wondering, are these drabs? What is this garbage that I've been draping over my junk? Because it's just, you deserve better, you know? They're the most comfortable. We're talking 3 times softer than cotton. Try to fathom that if you can. Or just buy a pair and you can feel it for yourself. So this Valentine's Day, get your partner a gift that's fun for the both of you. Order by February 5th at 10 a.m. for free standard shipping so your gift arrives on time. Matching pairs are fun, thoughtful, comfortable, and you can share it with your significant other. Here's the deal. 100% satisfaction guarantee. MeUndies guarantees you and your significant other will love your matching pair or your money back. You have got nothing to lose. If you don't love it, 3 times softer than cotton, wow, your mind's not blown, send it back. It's that easy. You got nothing to lose. So right now, head on over to MeUndies.com/H3. And for our listeners, when you purchase MeUndies for the first time, you get 20% off and free shipping.
Free shipping, y'all.
Free shipping, y'all. Yeah.
It's and my favorite song.
Yeah, you don't even have to spend $100, unlike Jake Palmer. once again, they're so convinced you're going to love this underwear, you get 100% satisfaction guaranteed. So, listen, if you don't love your first pair, get a goddamn refund. So, it's a no-brainer. Get 20% off matching undies for you and your significant other. 100%, there's a lot of percentages here. 20% off, 100% satisfaction guaranteed.
And
what the heck are you waiting for?
Order it by February 5th for free standard shipping and to get it in time.
Yes.
Right?
So to get 20% off and free shipping and 100% guaranteed satisfaction, go to MeUndies.com/H3. That's MeUndies.com/H3. And this will be the best Valentine's gift that you will ever give. And if somebody doesn't touch your penis as a result, I can't guarantee they'll give you your money back, but you're free to ask. There's a chance. There's always a chance. Thank you to MeUndies. HelloFresh, thank you for sponsoring our program. We have teamed up with HelloFresh, and we are offering everyone in our audience $30 off your first week of deliveries when you go to HelloFresh.com and use the offer code H3Podcast. That's one word, H3Podcast. HelloFresh, what is it? Just the greatest, most convenient revolution in groceries. Oh, Shredder's tearing up the paper. Let me clear my throat here.
Shredder is being a shredder.
We used to have a shredder, like a paper shredder. Now we just throw it on the floor. He takes it of everything.
It's a natural shredder.
He has our social security numbers and all that, but I trust him. Listen, here's the deal with HelloFresh. Convenient, fun, a total blast, flexible. They send you groceries, everything you need, measured perfectly out in little patches with instructions, nutritional information. For example, they'll be like, hey, how about a little chicken scallopini? As an example. So they send you the chicken, fresh, beautiful chicken. They send you all the ingredients, all the sauce, everything you need to cook a master meal. Something that you, knowing you, probably would never cook. Because let's face it, we're pizza guys. Us boys out here.
And it's always pretty easy to cook meals.
Yeah.
So you don't need to cook for like hours.
Dude, I'm telling you, Valentine's Day, you put on some MeUndies, you make a little HelloFresh. Somebody is going to touch you in your special place. At least a touch. One of these for sure. Can I get one of these from you this Valentine's Day, Ila? One of these?
Depends.
If I play my cards right. Choose a delivery day that works for you. Pause for weeks when you're out of town. Everything comes pre-measured and labeled. Here's the deal. HelloFresh has a wide variety of chef-curated recipes that change weekly. There's three plans to choose from: classic, veggie, and family. You could choose between meat, fish, and seasonal produce. Vegetarian recipes with plant-based protein, grains, and seasonal produce. The whole freaking family is going to love them. Or if you're single and, you know, you can also cook it for yourself this Valentine's Day and cry over your chicken. It's a good seasoning. Salt, you know, you don't need salt. You can season it with your own tears.
It's organic.
But you'll love it anyway. It's organic, as Elis pointed out. I've had a ton of fun cooking with HelloFresh. It's just, it's a total blast. You don't have to go to the grocery store. You don't have to go online and find recipes. You're not going to mess it up because they make it so hard to mess up. And it's always delicious, fun, easy to clean up. It's a total blast. So they make cooking easy, delicious. It's a balanced meal, and it's less than $10 a meal. Okay? Kabish. Feel confident with the simple recipes outlined on picture step-by-step. Go to HelloFresh.com and use the code H3Podcast to get $30 off your first week's deliveries, my friends.
Very nice.
One more time. Go to HelloFresh. The link is in the description. Receive $30 off your first order with promo code H3Podcast. Thank you, my friends, to these sponsors. If you're in the market for a little nice meal or some undies, please consider supporting our sponsors. Thank you, guys, and we're back. Welcome back, everybody, to the H3 Podcast. Thank you for sticking around. If you guys have any questions, please give us a ring at 818-214-8504. Maybe we'll air your question if you can get past the great firewall known as Ian the Intern. He's a hater, so watch out. Give him a piece of your mind. I shouldn't say that. People are just going to be fucking with him. I'm kidding.
That's true.
Come on. Give the guy a break. He's got a tough job. I wanted to ask you, how's our setup here? I was thinking maybe you could critique it, being a camera expert and a mic expert. What's going on here?
So it's pretty solid. It's pretty good. I'm impressed. Like, I have
wow, those are high marks from you.
Yeah, no, we mess with, you know, video sets all the time. There's nice color variety. There's lights everywhere, which is good. I like this purple light behind the super official sign.
Thank you.
Because, like, colored lights, what is that, a Philips Hue light strip? Like, those types of things. Nice touch. This is pretty solid.
We actually had a set designer in here who did all this.
Oh, word. Yeah. I think what helps a lot is how many sound dampening materials you can sneak in a place, like the couch, the carpet, the foam, everything.
Yeah.
The curtains.
You know what's interesting? I don't know if you guys can see this, Sarah, if you
push phone back
it.
Here.
But behind here, there's a window, a massive window to the street.
Dude, like main street.
And so there's like foam like this thick, and it actually blocks the sound out quite well.
Yeah.
I would never have guessed that.
Got him. Sometimes there's
I forget that there was a window there.
If you wanted to open it, would you have to rip all the foam down?
Yeah.
I guess so.
You can make an incision.
Slice
it open. I wouldn't do that.
I
wouldn't recommend that.
Just leave it.
Not missing much with that window. I wanted to ask you. Have you heard the rumor that Apple is going to buy Tesla?
No.
Dan, did you pull that out of your ass? Dan told me that. He's like, did you hear the rumor? Is that a real thing? Or are you trolling me?
No, that was a real thing.
So there's
when I read it, I read the article. I knew it would probably make you rage. So brought that forward.
There's legit rumors about Apple trying to make a car, which is far-fetched by itself, but Apple also has billions and billions and billions of dollars of cash.
Ungodly.
So if they
wanted roasters worth of money.
Yeah, I mean, they could just buy Ford and just make cars with them.
That's
but
obscene.
They wouldn't. They're super stingy. But I feel like Tesla is positioned so damn well that I could see that.
It makes sense.
But also, like, why Elon would never do that, right?
That's what I thought.
It doesn't make sense.
He's kind of at the helm of the ship. I think they just announced like a 10-year plan for his salary to like inflate as he stays with them. Like, I think he's pretty locked in there.
I wanted to tell you about that or ask you about that because they just announced Tesla, Elon's pay package. Yeah. And it's set up so that if he doesn't perform well, he gets nothing. Mm-hmm. And he has milestones for every $50 billion that he increases the company's worth. For reference, the company is currently worth $59 billion.
Okay.
So the milestones go all the way up to $650 billion, which is like ludicrous, right? That'll make it one of the top five most valued companies in America.
Yeah.
But if he somehow reaches that goal, he will be the richest man in the world, something worth like $200 billion. But, I mean, you know, it's a fairy tale.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good incentive.
It's a good incentive.
I wouldn't mind that. That's sort of a...
All right, if you get 7 million subs, you get $1 billion.
All right. I'm on it. If I was him, I'd be like, I'm on it.
I got this.
I'm working on it.
Start clickbaiting.
Yeah.
One thing I did for sure here was Apple buying Netflix.
That's also a rumor. Content. No?
I mean, there was articles about it. Dan didn't just make it up.
But it's also articles about it being a rumor.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it hasn't happened yet. So
it hasn't happened.
Yeah.
It was a weird article. Some, like, high-level forecaster said there's a 40% chance of Apple buying Netflix. What's your gut when you hear that?
When I hear that, I think that's the highest number you can give without sounding like you're guessing. Because if you say it's a 50% chance, then you're like, well, what is it?
Yeah.
But if you go over 50 and it doesn't happen, you look dumb. So he's like, yeah, it's a 40% chance. And if it doesn't happen, you're like,
that's
whatever.
Smart. You could say 40% of anything, really, and you'll look
good. So 40% chance, I'm not actually sitting here right now, but it's only 40, so.
How do you feel about Apple owning Netflix, though?
So on the surface, I get it. Content. You get a lot of content, a lot of licensing. Obviously, Google and YouTube is a sort of a giant that you have to compete with somehow. Mm. And the only way Apple's tried original content on their own, and that's all right, but like Netflix, why not just start there? So I get it.
But as a direct, I guess, do you think that it would affect what they do?
Because
everybody loves Netflix, and I think, like, even people who are fans of Apple kind of hate Apple, right?
A little bit.
Is that an accurate statement? I really don't like Apple.
There's a, there's a bit of a trapped element to it, mm-hmm. I think, sometimes. If you ask people why they use an iPhone, they're like, well, all my friends.
iMessage.
The blue bubbles.
The iMessage.
Have you heard the walled garden analogy?
No.
It's kind of, people describe the Apple ecosystem as sort of like a walled garden where it's really nice and pretty on the inside and all your friends are in there. Mm. But if you ever get a peek over the top of that really high wall, you see like all the meadows and things
beautiful
that are outside.
It.
But like climbing that wall and leaving iMessage and all my friends are in here and why don't I just stay in here?
It's sounds like a cult. Like.
Yeah, it's kind of like what it's like using an iPhone. Yeah.
What do you think about Apple as a company? Do you consider them still to be like tech industry leaders, or are they? I get the sense personally that they're starting to become a little obsolete, a little bit dated, and they're losing their edge.
Every time I think that, I look at their bank account.
Yeah, but they made that money a while ago.
Yeah, but it's like they're. I think I saw an article, and I might be quoting it wrong, but like the iPhone X was like the first iPhone to not increase the rate of breaking the record sales. Like,
oh,
so
really?
They measure iPhones of like, it broke the sales record, of course, by how much? Mm-hmm. By more than last time? Okay, they're still doing well.
Mm-hmm.
When it breaks the sales record by not as much as they broke the last sales record, then it's like, is Apple doomed? Are
so
they
that's what,
over?
So the sales of the X were not bad. They just didn't shatter all the
they
records.
They didn't. It did shatter all the records, but not as much as it usually
does. Are you
does.
Serious? So it did outperform all their previous phones?
Although I think this year there were three phones. So I don't know if the 10 individually outsold all the rest, but like year after year, like the iPhone is the most sold phone by volume.
Was it
by
still?
By multiple, yeah.
What the fuck?
Like, if you just look at iPhone.
It's funny. When
the
you,
iPhone.
When you listen to, like, tech radio and stuff like that, it's always like, the iPhone X is a colossal failure.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, why was the iPhone X such a failure?
So, I wouldn't say it's a failure by anyone's standards other than people who didn't buy it who thought they were. Like, there's people who are like, I'm going to wait for the latest iPhone, and then the new iPhone comes out and they buy it. And then a year later, they say, I'm going to wait for the next iPhone. And then it comes out, and they buy it. Mm. And then this year, they said, I'm going to buy the iPhone 10. And then it came out, and it was $1,000. And they were like,
that price tag?
Skip.
Maybe not. Maybe next year.
What was it previously, like 800?
Usually around 800 to
launch. That 1,000 price tag gets a little scary.
I mean, it's a starting price. Like, you could option up previous year's iPhones to be like $979, just if you put more storage in it and the option got the, you know, the gold or whatever. But this year it's like, all right, starting at $999. Do I want more storage? Is it $1,250 now? Like,
bro, their margins are probably so insane on those phones.
Definitely, they're making their money. But like,
what do you think if you had to guess what it costs to make one of those phones?
Actually, that's out there. iFixit does teardowns. I think the number is a couple hundred, but it's definitely not more than $500 to make an iPhone X.
If it costs $500, that would be a reasonable margin. I mean,
I want to say, I don't know why 170 is in my head, but I feel like it's less than $200 to make an iPhone
X. I feel like so too. Yeah. 5x margin at that price point is pretty nuts.
That is kind of what margins are, though.
Yeah, but when you're selling like a high-end item that's that expensive. Yeah. Because you still have to sell it. I mean, $1,000 is a big barrier to cross for most people, right? But they do it. It's all about that eyeball.
Where else are you going to get it? Where else are you going
to
get
an iPhone? Oh, Danny's saying it's $370.
$370 to make. Where did that info come from, Dan?
I know there's teardowns. $370, that sounds
right. It's on Time. I just Googled it.
Mm. Interesting.
Word.
So, I mean, that... Okay.
It's reasonable.
Yeah, it's reasonable.
I think it is, actually.
I'm not mad.
If I built a thing and it cost me $370 to make and it looked as sweet as an iPhone X, how much would I sell it for?
$1,000.
Yeah, I'm not angry.
Because the cost doesn't end there, you know.
Development.
There's a lot of costs beyond
all those
that.
Billboards, all the ads we
Tons
see.
Tons of advertisement. That's not a joke. Mm-hmm. Billions in advertising. Man, they're like, Apple's like Smog from The Hobbit.
They have a really interesting advertising strategy. You might have noticed, they never use social media. They didn't have a Twitter until this year, and even now they never use it. They don't have an official Facebook page, I don't think. They don't use MySpace.
I wonder if it's because they think of all those people as their competitors in a weird way.
It's brand image on one hand. Like, if you can't control the public image of your brand, then why be on that platform? But they upload their ads to YouTube, disable ratings, disable comments, just leave it.
Really?
Echo chamber. You can't like shift the image
that
of gold, the way
that garden wall.
Exactly. Because I'm sure if you subscribe to Apple on YouTube and you saw the video right as they uploaded it, and there was like comments and ratings, and you'd be like, oh, I don't think I like this ad.
Totally.
You dislike it. That would be a failure for them. So they won't allow that to happen.
Interesting. Huh.
But they have plenty of billboards. Newspaper ads.
Because there's no interaction there.
Yeah.
You don't have some 12-year-old screaming about...
You can carefully curate where exactly that shows up.
That's so interesting. I didn't know that about them.
Yeah.
That kind of solidifies the cult theory even more.
Mm-hmm.
they definitely carefully control the way people see Apple as a company.
Here's a little 180 for you. What's your opinion about the growing discussion of AI?
Mm-hmm.
Elon Musk, our boy, for example... is pretty alarmist about it. I've talked about this on the show quite a bit.
Right.
But he comes out with statements that scare the shit out of me.
Same.
He's like, we need to regulate it. This shit's going to wipe us off the planet. We're not taking this threat seriously. And then there's a lot of other people on the other end who are experts and who you know, come from a place of authority who think that it's complete overreaction. They don't see it as a threat. What are your thoughts on the danger and potential of AI? Is that something you thought about?
Yeah, a little bit. I tend to separate the two different... Like, it's like a Venn diagram of two different terms, which are AI, artificial intelligence, and machine learning.
Mm-hmm.
So if you talk to Google or anyone who's trying to do better things with software with the same hardware, they think machine learning is the best. It's the greatest because it can make software smarter. It can recognize more things. It can train to get better. Stuff like your Google Home or Alexa or whatever you use will get better with that. But then there's artificial intelligence as like an entire other blob, which is like... You know, does it start to make decisions for itself? Is it aware of itself?
I guess that's the point, right? That
it's self-aware. Own motives? Yeah, that whole question. So I'm all for machine learning, and that's been actually really exciting in the last, like, 2 or 3 years. But artificial intelligence is kind of a giant question mark for me.
Not much opinions about it.
Not really. Because I don't have much hands-on experience with it. Like, if I had, like, a robot that I could... talk to and like ask it questions and really see how I feel about it, maybe I would have a stronger opinion. But as of right now, robots are all these pretty corny, like barely functional, you know, humanoid type things that are purpose built to maybe clean your house. So like,
Well, it's the time old philosophical question, you know, it's not a new question, but it seems like increasingly that.
It seems like maybe Ilhan thinks so far into the future that he's thinking, like, well, in 2030, when this technology is so far ahead, like, what are we going to do about robots that don't like us?
Right. I mean, I think it's folly to just dismiss what he's saying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Got to hear the guy out.
Seems but
it also seems a little far-fetched that there's this, like, dystopian, like, matrix future that's been in sci-fi for, like, centuries. It would actually come to fruition.
Yeah, it's just weird coming from Elon, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. That makes it way too real for me.
If someone else said this, I'd be like, yeah, come on. Get real. Let's be real.
Yeah.
The only thing, I feel like being on YouTube and dealing with YouTube algorithm kind of makes me feel like it's not that far, because YouTube algorithm is already like...
cold. Calculated.
Making changes that no one even knows what they are.
Yeah. That's a little bit of both, too. That's because the machine learning is like... there's programmers that are telling it, like, they're trying to train it to do certain things better, so they get feedback from us. And, you know, you need to better recognize the difference between iPhone 10 and iPhone XXX. Like, one thing's cool, one thing's not. Like, mm-hmm. being able to take that new information and adjust all the things it's doing hopefully works well with machine learning. But, like, with artificial intelligence, I don't know. It's, like, this whole other question.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
One of our best theories is that the singularity already happened, and Elon is an agent of the AI.
Of the AI.
That is the puppet master of everything happening in the world, working to its benefit. Chew on that, my dude.
My God.
Elon is a fucking undercover agent for the AI singularity.
I'm a little bit terrified now.
I'm saying, man. He's. But anyway.
The world is not anymore the way it should be.
Nice. Very good. That was well timed.
That was a hilarious video.
Oh, thanks, man. Oh my God. Appreciate that. That's really nice to say. God bless you.
Where do you find that video? Like, does it just someone sends it to you, or it just kind of comes up?
Where did we find that one?
I found that one. It was kind of. I don't remember where I
found it.
Where
was it?
They just float around, you know. I'm open to the world. I think I must have seen it on Cringe, maybe, or I catch a lot of them on Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people email me shit, and I'll catch it on their subreddit. I catch it, but every once in a while, you find a video like that, and
you're
just like
in a rabbit hole, and forget about it. Like you're like, oh, this is the one.
Yeah,
I gotta go hard on this one.
Absolutely. Carlos is a ledge.
Instant ledge.
Do you have any predictions for future tech? Anything we may not expect that you think will have a really huge impact on our society? Like maybe something that's coming up that people are not realizing how important it is.
Right. That's like the golden question, and I wish I had a great answer for it, but I don't. And even like family members will ask me, like, so what's the next big thing? I'm like... I don't know. Like, I guess the next phone that comes out, like, it seems like we're on this sort of a railroad track where we kind of know what's next over and over and over again. And eventually we get there down that railroad. But for now, it's a lot of incremental, like, slightly faster chips, slightly better bandwidth, slightly more memory, slightly better cameras. And over time, it all gets better as a whole.
Do you think that there's inevitably some kind of disruptor where all of a sudden it's like, oh, the internet? Or
I know what I'm hoping it is.
What?
I'm hoping it's battery technology.
That, please, can
because
we've
been talking about
better
battery technology for so long, and things about like graphene batteries or whatever. But like at the end of the day, my phone lasted for one day like 5 years ago. Why does it still only last for one day?
I guess the power consumption is going up, like
the technology stays the same, and energy density gets a little bit better. But like our phones are so much more powerful and do so many more things. This huge screen.
Before we had Nokias that played Snake.
Exactly. So like it makes sense that my phone still only lasts a day. But I'm looking forward to like a multiplier type of breakthrough where like now our phones last a month.
That would be crazy.
That gets better and it lasts like a year, like that type of thing.
That would be awesome.
But also, did you see the video?
I'm hoping for that.
You see the video where a guy bit a battery in a store and it just exploded?
Why?
What?
I don't know why he bit it.
What?
He just gave it a little nibble?
So it's like a security, like a CCTV camera in a store somewhere. And
can you pull that up, you guys?
What happened
to it? Is it very graphic? Should I not
watch it? It's not. No, it's like a totally watchable video, but it's just like a, you see this thing burst into flames. If you puncture a battery, it will explode. Like the energy density is super high. Like if you take a knife to the phone in your pocket, it will be very dangerous because of all the fumes and the explosives.
That actually happened with the Samsung, right, last year, where people's phones were just exploding.
Yeah. So that was an extremely small thing. Like, they tried to push the battery up into the corners of that phone so much that what happened was, like, they were layering, essentially folding layers of the battery in there. Mm. And some of them, the layers just caught and touched in the wrong place.
Wow.
And that was enough for the phone.
Flow too close to the sun.
Exactly. In other words. So they had to, you know, put slightly less dense batteries in and slightly smaller, and that worked out. Mm. But, like, batteries are already super dense. I just wish there was, like, some next level.
We need new tech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here, you have the link.
Is it okay to watch?
Yeah, it's not graphic.
Okay. I don't want to, like, get into trouble with YouTube or Twitch.
I just want to know the backstory. Like, why did he...
Yeah.
What was he thinking?
Where the flip is it? Here it is. Let's pull it up. It's in China, so does that help explain?
A little bit. A little bit.
How do you already know that it's in China?
It's in the title.
As a test.
Oh, yeah.
What was he testing?
What happens when you bite a battery? All right, let's see. Oh, wow.
Like, did he not think, like, maybe a...
Oh, man, that's pretty... That is intense. But I'm happy to say that they all seem okay.
Yeah.
They all seem relatively okay. Why are you biting it, you fucking idiot?
Exactly. That's probably what the girl in the coat right there is like. What did you...
She got the burst of it.
It's in a public store with other people around you.
Don't put batteries in your mouth, guys.
You're not in a lab.
Sheesh.
China's a weird place because, like, people just put batteries in their mouth there. Or, like, they don't understand, like, how stoplights work, and people are starting to drive for the first time. Like, Chinese villages that were all of a sudden getting tons of money for some reason, and they're just, like, running people over.
They're off the grid. Now they're on. Now they know what to do.
It's insane. well, here's a follow-up about predictions for future tech. Mm-hmm. VR. A lot of people have a lot of money and investments. Big companies, big people, big names putting their chips and their money into developing VR. Mm-hmm. Do you think that this has as much potential as a lot of people seem to think it has?
Long-term, yes. Short-term, no. I'm a short-term pessimist about VR. And I don't know if it's because, like, I've tried to make 360 videos and they all sucked, or if it's, like, every time I scroll past one on Facebook, I scroll extra fast because it's so dumb.
Right.
But, like, eventually, I think as tech gets better, we'll be able to make better VR. Because VR, there's also VR and AR. So, like, AR, you kind of have this augmented element to whatever world you're in. Maybe it overlays something somewhere. But VR, you need your entire world to be built for you. So whether it's a roller coaster you're riding or a map you're playing a game in, someone built all of that. So better VR happens after we get better maps and better environments to play in and more and more painstakingly detailed things. And then the resolution of the headsets we're playing in gets better and you can see these things better. All of that has to get better before VR is even a little bit interesting to me as far as, like, you know, everyday application. Because right now it's just, like, gaming.
I actually tend to agree. It's funny because back in, like, the 90s, that's when it started, like, VR.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was a kid, I went to a mall. I must have been 10 years old. They had this massive platform, and I put on all these gadgets, and it was, like, 50 pounds on me. It was an awful experience. Now we have the technology where you can put the Vive on, and it's really fun. It's really cool experience. Yeah. But you still have a wire, and the games aren't great. And I don't know. It just, you still have this giant goggle on your head.
The latest thing that I saw was at CES this year. They had, did you go to CES?
No. I was not. No.
They had the wireless adapter for the Vive.
I saw that video. Incredible.
So at least you don't have wires. You still have one wire to a battery in your pocket, but at least you don't trip over the wire.
That's a huge difference.
It ruins the immersion.
Yeah.
So immersion, that'll take some work, but, like, you still have to build the entire environment that you're in.
So you're saying it takes a lot more work to make a great VR game.
Yeah.
Because you have three dimensions instead of two.
A lot, yeah.
Interesting.
So that takes time, but I'm sure that'll get better too.
Cool. Honestly, when you get to the point where, like, you just are in your own mind, that's kind of where VR will take over.
Will be like that scene in what's that movie? Where they're just kind of sitting back. Wall-E? It's Wall-E. There's a scene in Wall-E where the guy's just in the chair.
All the fatties on
the back, and the screen's just in his face. And we're going to be like,
that's what the fuck I need to be doing with my life. Okay, let's take another break. We will be back. So much to talk about, you guys. You do not want to go away. We will be back shortly. Thanks, guys. See you soon. Thank you to Audible for sponsoring this episode of the H3 Podcast. Audible is offering our audience a 30-day free trial. How about that? Unbelievable. If you want to listen to it, Audible has it. Just go to audible.com/H3podcast, or this is some high-tech new stuff, text H3podcast to the number 500-500. Wow. Never heard of such a thing.
It's the future.
This is the future is now. Soon you'll just have to think. To sign up, just think H3podcast for a free audiobook. I absolutely love Audible. They've got an incredible service. They've got an incredible catalog of audiobooks. This could change everything you do because you're going to be entertained. You're going to be educated. Whatever it is you need, you're going to have some laughs. Whatever it is you're doing. You're playing video games. You're cooking. You're exercising. Or maybe you just are don't want to listen to your teacher drone on. Because school sucks. Am I right?
No.
Kids rule, right, Ila?
No.
Wow, dude. What?
Knowledge is power, Ethan.
All right, knowledge is power. Knowledge is power, guys. Go to audible.com/H3podcast. So I've been reading, or I've been listening to, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Now, this book, it sounds corny, okay? It was written in, like, the 30s. This is an old, time-tested book. How to Win Friends and Influence People. When I was in a rut recently and I was really...
Oh, Shredder wants out.
I was in a rut recently and this book really got me in a fresh perspective. Some of the stuff is obvious, but it really got me thinking about my interactions with people in a different way. I can't recommend this book enough. If you're, no matter who you are, this is going to help you live happier, interact with people happier. The thesis of the book is like, we all learn about math and history and science, but we don't ever learn about human relations.
Yeah, social interactions.
And that's kind of the most impactful, meaningful thing in all of our lives is how we interact with the people around us, right? How to Win Friends and Influence People will change your life if you're ready to receive the message of it. And it's written in a way that's easily digested. It's a ton of fun. I can't recommend it highly enough, my friends. So here is what I'm proposing to you, okay? Go to audible.com/H3podcast or text H3podcast to 500-500 and get a 30-day free trial. Listen to this book, and it's great. You got nothing to lose. It's a free trial. That's audible.com/H3podcast or text H3podcast to 500-500. You get to keep these books no matter what. So even if you cancel your membership, you get to keep it, and they can never take that away from you. And you can also share a book from your library with anyone if it's their first time accepting a book through this feature. So you, if it has a big impact on you, you get it for free, you share it with a friend. It's a beautiful thing, guys. So thank you to Audible for supporting us. One more time, that's audible.com/H3podcast. audible.com/H3podcast. Thank you so much for supporting us. And next up, we've got the great and wonderful Man Crates. Ah! Yeah, Man Crates! Only man! I'm not kidding. Any man of the male gender, whether he's a lumberjack or a... What's a really emasculate thing? I don't know. Me.
A janitor.
Me. You're going to love what Man Crate has to offer. It's Valentine's Day to the ladies listening. And instead of giving your guy a box of chocolates for Valentine's, which is so boring, surprise him with a heart-shaped box of delicious beef jerky. The ultimate snack. Aphrodisiac. Introducing ManCrates.com, the only place to find awesome gifts that guys love. This isn't some cologne sampler or cheesy mug. ManCrate offers curated gifts collections for every type of guy, from the sport fanatic on down to the home chef. That's who it is, the stay-at-home dad. Someone as pathetic as that. I'm kidding, obviously. My dream is always to be a stay-at-home dad. ManCrates, by the way, with S. I don't want any confusion about that. It's ManCrates. Big capital S. You need to capitalize the S.
No, you don't.
It doesn't matter, actually. Check out classic crates like the NFL Barware crate and the Whiskey Appreciation crate, or fresh takes on traditional Valentine's gifts like the Jerky Heart or the Salami Bouquet. Bouquet. A salami bouquet, that's, you know how to win my
that's
heart.
That's so beautiful.
Can you imagine? I love you. It's like just a bunch of beef jerky. Works for me. Go to mancrates.com, pick up the perfect gift, then wait for the magic moment. He'll fall head over heels when the gift arrives, and he gets to pry the wooden crate open, and it includes a crowbar. They have thousands of five-star reviews, and every gift comes with a complete satisfaction guarantee. So here's the deal. Go to mancrates.com/H3 for 5% off. They don't offer discounts anywhere else. So if you want 5% off your man crates, go to mancrates.com/H3 right now. That's mancrates.com/H3. Thank you so much to Man Crates and Audible for supporting us. If you want to support the show, please consider supporting one of our sponsors. Thank you guys so much. And now let's get right back into it. Welcome back, everybody, to the H3 podcast. Let me ask you this. What do you think about Alexa and Google Assist, all these devices that are going into everybody's homes, even these phones, and they're listening to us?
Yeah.
Do you have any concerns about that, or do you just think that it's a wonderful evolution of integrating our lives with technology?
Yeah, a little bit of concern. So, like, and I also know people who are at different points on that spectrum. Some people are like, that's super creepy, and not even being like, it's, like, so obviously listening to you that, like, why would you even bring that in your home? Mm-hmm. And then there's people like me who are more on the side of just, like, well, if Google's going to know everything about me anyway, then I might as well get something back for it, right. Like some sort of convenience.
Right.
I think, like, we kind of had this discussion in a college class I took a while ago, which was, like, do you have any privacy? And I think I ended up writing an essay with essentially that thesis. It's like, well, no, we don't. But we'll just get something back from the companies that do something for it. I did definitely. Facebook is not subtle at all.
Yeah, so I just pulled up this tweet that you wrote. You wrote, Google, we really value privacy. Twitter, we never collect anything. Apple, we securely encrypt everything on device. Facebook literally gives you an ad for something you dreamt about.
Yeah.
You want to break that down?
Yeah, I mean, you see these statements at, like, every event. At Google I.O., Google's like, yes, you know, We're listening to your voice and analyzing it and recognizing it and training your assistant to recognize your voice versus your spouse's, right. So that you can both talk to this thing, but we don't collect that.
Sure.
So you're good.
Yeah.
So they at least feign some sort of, like, you know, we're doing the right thing. Twitter, same thing. You know, we know where you are every time you tweet, but it's all good. Apple, yeah, we kind of just, you use your fingerprint thousands of times every week, and we know exactly what it, but, like, it's just on your phone. We never see that information. It's all good.
Damn, I never thought about the fingerprint thing.
Yeah. Face Unlock now, it's just scanning your face casually every time. But Facebook is just unashamedly right? You'll, like, buy something in, the grocery store and, like, walk home and open Facebook, and it's like, want to buy that again online? Because we have it, like, all the time. So, yeah, that's just kind of what that was inspired by.
Do you find fault with that? Do you think that it's wrong what Facebook's doing, the brazen use of your privacy to sell you shit? Is that the only reason they use your private information?
I mean, it's for advertising. So they're, again, it's basically like trading your privacy for convenience. To them, the ads are so good that it's stuff you would want to buy anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So we know you so well based on your behavior on Facebook and all the things we collect, and we own Instagram, and now we know where you shop and where you like to take pictures and all this stuff about you. We know so much about you that an advertiser can come in with something they want to buy and find you because they know you want to buy it. So you're kind of trading, like, them knowing everything about you for, like, the ads not sucking. Imagine if it was the other way around. Mm-hmm. We don't know that much about you. We kind of try not to get in your privacy. Here's an ad for diapers. Do you care about that? Like, we'd be like, these ads are such trash. So on one hand, it's kind of nice that, like, okay, at least it's advertising something I may actually buy. But on the other hand, it's, like, kind of creepy that they know so much and always will.
Mm. Yeah.
You can't take it back.
Do you hate any of these listed social medias or brands, tech companies, more than other ones?
Mm, I don't hate them. I don't really use Facebook.
I hate Facebook.
I mean, you hate it?
I hate
it. Like, you avoid it.
I think Facebook is a breeding, is like everything that's wrong from the top to the bottom. How it's really? Rampant copyright infringement that Facebook doesn't.
Oh, Facebook so, users.
Yeah. No, even well, from they users, allow and it. The company has almost no policy. They have a policy, but it's not enforced.
It's not enforced.
They yeah. basically thrive on stealing other people's content. And at least YouTube has gotten to the place where they're making a goodwill effort to control these things. But Facebook is just the shittiest people, the shittiest company, the shittiest interface.
What do you think about Mark Zuckerberg, like, personally?
The Zuck?
Yeah.
You can't cut the Zuck.
I guess Facebook is kind of in that place where, like, it's ubiquitous. Everyone knows about Facebook, so.
He's a robot. He's not human.
He's an interesting character. I don't know that much about Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, I don't know anything about him, honestly.
He's like Spock.
Like, I almost...
With a sweater.
I think I would like to not know much about him. I like not knowing about him. Because, like, you see, like, he's, what, the youngest billionaire ever? Like, the sweatshirt billionaire guy walks around the office with a laptop, probably with socks on, but, like, what a, like...
like but he's, but they're what's... so, I feel like they're so nefarious, all the execs at Facebook. I feel like they've got to be a little bit evil. Or maybe not evil, but cold.
Have you seen the movie about it? What's it called? The Social Network?
Actually, I haven't, but I've heard very good things.
I watched it on a plane like I do with all the movies I watch. And it's pretty good, and it gives a somewhat accurate and verifiable backstory to like how the network came to be and the people in power there. But yeah, just the whole... Just the position they're in is kind of sketch. They can do so much.
Right.
And we assume they don't. Kind of like the NSA in a weird way.
Facebook is a weird alternate NSA.
Yeah.
They have like as much
it's a voluntary NSA.
Yeah, that's how they get you.
Yeah.
But for me personally, as time goes on, I use Facebook less. And I assume because it becomes less relevant for my life. I don't like it. I don't like what I see there. But I assume that other people would be experiencing the same thing, but yet there's still so many people using Facebook.
Yeah.
I think it's stopped.
Yeah, I think
but you know what how they get you? I love Instagram. So right. I come out one end and I enter another.
Yeah.
And they still got
that
me.
That was the smartest thing they've done in a while, because all these young people who never even signed up, they think see Facebook the same way you say like MySpace. Like
it's an old people's shit.
Nobody's on there anymore. But Instagram, all the kids are on Instagram.
Yeah. Yep.
So Facebook goes, all right, you know what, we'll swoop down and we'll get all of those people's information too by just owning it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they're smart.
To their credit, they haven't fucked with Instagram that much.
Instagram still pilots its own ship, which I like. I like seeing companies like obviously I don't like seeing Facebook buy Instagram, but I like when they buy it, but they also let them run the ship still.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's cool. But yeah, they're kind of just doing their thing now.
So based on what you said about you only watch movies on airplanes,
yeah,
and I've heard you say that you almost never watched anything on your Netflix, do you not watch stuff? Is that...
I watch a lot of YouTube, and
God bless,
that's
dude.
About as much as I
Who
watch.
Who do you like?
Really?
Do you watch a lot of YouTube?
Well, yeah. If the percentage of the pie of like media I consume, it's a huge percentage of the pie. Mm-hmm. I don't like watch hours and hours and hours of YouTube, but like
You get your entertainment.
That's where I get my entertainment. So there's like even like TV stuff, like SportsCenter. You could claim the only reason I really watch TV is for sports.
Mm.
But when I can get those highlights or that commentary right. on mm-hmm. YouTube later, it's like the only place I need to go for stuff. There's YouTubers I watch. There's companies I watch that upload to YouTube. The whole thing is all there.
I think people underestimate how incredible YouTube is. Because as YouTubers, we all kind of live in our own bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And we all bitch and moan about all the little annoying things, or the big annoying things. But it's so freaking powerful. It's so incredible. It's
the biggest platform there is.
It's nuts. And,
I think.
And like, it's got to be. And people are always talking about, like, oh, there's going to be a new competitor because YouTube keeps fucking up. I don't think people understand how impossible it is to get where they are now. All the shit that they've been through, all the shit they've got, all the lawsuits, the learning how to run a website. They have decades of experience. Nobody else even has any.
Yeah, I had a meeting a super long time ago where I heard somebody at YouTube, I don't remember who, say because of the scale of YouTube, they've had every single problem, every single little interesting problem that you could possibly have,
right.
It becomes multiplied. Because even if, you know, the billions and billions of things that are on YouTube, if the most crazy, tiny, obscure thing is a thousandth of a percent, that's like 500 people.
Yeah.
Like that are sure. having that little tiny problem and that they're going to be vocal about it. So like they've gone through it all.
Another one is like every country, every even state has their own laws. And somehow YouTube has to abide by every single
that's
person's
crazy.
Law.
Be so like complicated. Imagine that. It's so interesting that VidMe shut down. They were like,
bro,
they seemed like they would get somewhere with time, you know? They were like,
that was the closest anyone got, and they just straight up shut down. Like, they had name recognition during the apocalypse. Everyone was talking about VidMe.
Hmm.
They were just like, fuck it.
We tried.
Yeah. I want to ask you, what is your favorite tech company?
Is Tesla cheating?
No.
Tesla's a tech company, right?
Yeah.
I would say Tesla's up there. Google is pretty close behind, just because of the stuff they've done with software recently with Google Assistant and the camera and the Pixel.
Mm.
Really good stuff.
Google Assistant is incredibly helpful.
It is.
Surprisingly
just
good.
Just the, like, okay Google thing?
Yep.
Oh. And I love how you squeeze it.
Yeah, I've used
it's
that
so
a lot
dope.
More on this phone. I gotta lower my sensitivity because like I take it out of my pocket and I squeeze it already. But just asking it like, what's the weather in this place, or what's the traffic to work, or how's my day?
Restaurant, show me a good restaurant nearby. Great.
What's the traffic to Ethan's studio? Stuff like that.
Did you ask it that?
I should have.
I know that within tech reviewing culture, the genre on YouTube or in general. There's always a fine line for you guys to skirt where you want to be in the good favor of a company like Samsung or whoever, or even Google.
Yeah.
So you're always confronted with this issue of like, what can I say? I don't know if you do, but I'm just asking, do I slam this product that I hate and lose favor of them? Because that's got to be something that enters every tech reviewer mind. Is that something that you think about or that you're aware of in the culture?
Yeah, that's been like a hot button, especially in the last like 2 years, I would say, where YouTubers weren't part of press for the longest time, so we'd never had this issue.
Right.
You buy the phone, you review it based on whether you like what you bought or not. But at this point, it's gotten to YouTube's pretty sizable, and there's these people who have enough of an influence where if they review your product,
I would say
matters.
You have more influence than anyone else, like as much as anyone on the planet when
right.
it comes to.
So now that companies see that, they're treating YouTubers at that level like press, so they'll send you their product and you review it. I think a lot of people who
they
are
send
just
it
starting
to you early,
it, even early, exactly,
and that. How valuable is it to you and other viewers to get a product early?
It's massive for especially the first couple like hours and days of something being available. Everyone who's considering buying it has that small pool of content to choose to watch to decide to buy it or not.
Mm.
So it's very powerful content as well. So now they're sending us these products, and if you find something you don't like about it, I think a lot of people. Their instinct when they're not in this position is probably, oh, I don't want to say too many bad things because they won't send it to me next time, or they won't send it to me early. I don't find that to be a problem with what I'm doing. I've gotten people accuse that all the time, like, oh, you're not harsh enough on the iPhone, or you're not saying all the bad things you don't like. There's a couple of phones I've reviewed in the last year that I've ruined, like absolutely ruined, and will probably, I don't know if I directly affect sales or if I can measure that in any way, but there's phones that are just not good, and then I'll say they're not good, and you need to know it's not good so you don't buy it. So, but the ones, the initial impressions videos, I give a little more leeway with everyone just because I just picked up the phone for the first time. There are things that can be fixed with software updates, there's all those types of things.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to understand where they came from when they put this product together that's in my hand right now. But I really don't find myself swayed by access or them sending me for free at this point.
Do you find that the companies are, like if you give Samsung, just a random example, a bad review, do you find in general them or any other company will distance themselves from you if you slam them? Or they're all pretty gracious?
I've been pretty happy with the way they responded to it. So a lot of times they'll send a device early. And I'll give them some feedback, and part of that is, of course, negative. There's things I don't like, and they'll come back.
When you
back.
Say give them feedback, you mean privately or in a video?
Both. A lot of times it's just in a video. They watch the video, and then they email me, hey, we saw what you didn't like, and they'll wonder how they can follow up or make that better.
Interesting.
That's nice.
A couple years ago, I really tore down a Motorola camera in one of their phones. It was a great phone. I loved it. This was great. That was great. This was great. But the camera is just garbage. Hmm. And I worked with them directly after my video when they reached out, like, if the camera's really garbage, like, send us your photos, like, send us the shooting conditions, and we'll try to work on it and make it better. They pushed software updates after the fact. It got better. Hmm. It didn't get great, but, like, it got better. They tried. They had the best intention in mind. So I think these companies looking at really actually honest feedback, because if you get negative feedback on a phone, you could either say, oh, they're just trying to slander it or whatever, or they really didn't like that about it, and you can try to make it better.
It's valuable feedback.
Yeah, so it's actual feedback that you're, if you trust me as a reviewer, which is why I'm assuming you're sending it to me, you're going to get that same feedback from people who buy the phone later.
Interesting.
Yeah. So if you get that first feedback from me before it comes out, that's actually valuable to them. So I feel like they've been pretty good about not distancing themselves from negative feedback and actually embracing it, which is good.
That makes sense.
There's got to be so much money now. Do you see these big companies that almost like lobbyists to you guys? Have you experienced like insanely extravagant parties or invitations or trips? Like short of just straight up paying you for a good review,
right.
They probably skirt as close as possible
to bribery,
to being your best friend ever. Yeah, to bribery essentially. Like, have you experienced that?
Yeah, and I avoid it because it's. I get it, because they're trying to make a good impression and trying to be on your good side as a reviewer. So, but, like, that still won't change what I like or don't like about your phone.
Yeah.
So, like, me going to that nice event in your hotel suite in Soho, you know, it doesn't make your phone better. So, like,
right.
I get it, but it's
manipulation. It's like, hey,
yeah,
maybe you'll be a little easier on us because we're friends.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
That's what lobbying is. You know,
I can say I am pretty good friends with a couple of my contacts at Apple, at Tesla, at Google.
Mm-hmm.
Great people. I've hung out with them.
Sure.
And if their product next year is trash, I'm gonna call
it's
it trash,
personal,
and they know it, and that's not a problem for any of them.
Have you? Maybe you don't have to answer, but do you recall anything like extravagant? Maybe that you didn't even attend, but you were invited to.
I mean, there's always parties. Like at CES, half of it is like the show floor where you go out and you see the products and everything like that. And then the other half is like the brands all trying to court you to come to our suite or come to the hashtag LG party. Like, come to this party and hang out with us. And, oh, by the way, there's TVs everywhere, but it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. So I'm not a big party person, so I don't even go to that. But I see it and I understand it.
Yeah.
But I don't think it would sway me that much.
Sure.
Challenge accepted.
Start sending those bribes, my
friends. Start figuring that stuff out.
Do you actually ever buy tech, or do you get so much that you do you even have the need to buy gadgets or tech anymore?
I still do.
You must get a lot of free shit too.
I do, but I'm really picky. So like this phone I bought, I got a Pixel 2 from them to review. I got the black one. I said, I don't want the white one. So I bought the white one. So I'm really picky about the stuff that I use personally.
Right.
Everything that I carry and that's with me, I bought.
Mm.
But if you go to the studio, yeah, there's tons of stuff there that just showed up that I'll try to use, try to get to it. And when I do, I try to treat it as if I'm unwrapping it like I bought it for the first time, but it's kind of hard.
Yeah.
But so starting up, you had to buy everything, right?
Everything.
Oh,
yeah.
I remember you were one of the first channels I was watching way back before I even had a channel, and you had, like, cameras and shit. And I was like, God damn, that's so, like, I can't even imagine being able to, like, you had all the coolest shit back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, I got picky about, like, what I want to actually use, obviously, and that's what drives my decision of, like, reviewing things in the first place. But yeah, in the beginning, it was like, I got my laptop, bought it, reviewed it, and I'm like, all right, what's the next video? I bought a laptop cooler, I'm going to review that now. Like, it's one thing at a time based on what I'm buying. that philosophy still stays with me when I'm reviewing stuff now. If I had bought it, how would I feel? But, yeah.
Do you believe that you should be able to edit tweets?
I strongly believe that you should be able to edit tweets.
I know that because I see you talking about it.
It's 2018. Like, man.
But does that change Twitter? Because in a way, you need the historical...
Here's the case.
You need history preserved.
Right. And the Library of Congress, by the way, archives all of the president's tweets.
Oh,
so,
man.
So tweet archiving is real. But here's the thing. So, like, You can edit Facebook posts. You can edit
Instagram.
Everything short of the actual
Twitter
image.
Twitter is special, though. It's different.
Twitter is not sacred.
It is not
but
sacred,
like all
but it's
the typos.
Special.
When you have a typo, this it's so annoying.
Exactly. But because, well, usually when you have a typo, you're like, I fucked up, and then you immediately erase it. But, like, if you tweet out something really embarrassing, and then, like, 3 hours later, everyone's shitting on you, and you want to change it. I mean, sure, you can.
I think that would be funnier if you can go back and see the edit history.
Yeah, everyone would know.
And see that embarrassing
thing. It's
almost
more humiliating.
It's almost worse. Yeah, you have to delete it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you should be able to edit your tweet. Within a certain time frame, you caught the typo. You
5 minute
window. A little bit.
That's
a little
window.
Ooh, 5 minute
window. 5 minute window.
Come on, Twitter.
Show the edit history. Put a little asterisk next to it. That's it. That's all I ask. Not that hard.
Then
I make a typo. Sometimes I'm like literally like people ask me if I make typos on purpose so I can complain. I don't. I read my own tweet like 6 times in the compose window.
It's infuriating.
I don't catch the typo. I tweet it.
Bro.
And then someone will reply like, I bet you wish you could edit tweets. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I scroll back up and there's a giant typo. Like,
Yeah, then just pointed out the coffee fee.
Yeah.
See, that tweet. We wouldn't have that meme.
We got to pull a Trump sometimes and just defend our typos.
You're right. Yeah, like, that's what I meant.
To the death, yeah.
Is there any tech you want but can't afford?
There's all kinds of cars I want.
The Roadster.
The Roadster is brand new.
$2 million Bugatti. Bugatti about it.
I watched a video.
Bugatti.
There's a YouTuber I watch who just has like a car collection, who just does videos about his cars. And every time I watch one of those videos, I'm like, I kind of want that car now. Like, he reviews it very sincerely. Like, this is the Rolls Royce I use to get groceries because... And then he goes into the details about the trunk space and how quiet it is and how much headroom he has while he's getting... Yeah, all these things.
That's funny.
Doesn't need to collect, Rolls Royce like, for groceries.
Yeah. It's not quite the same. I'm in this world of, like, pocketable technology where it's usually pretty attainable.
Yeah, relatively attainable.
Yeah, I think so.
We have got a question from Zach.
All right.
Zach, what the fuck is up, my doggy?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
How's it going?
Hey, it's going good. You got a question for us?
So, just wanted to get your guys' opinion on planned obsolescence in the tech industry and whether you see that as a huge issue or if it's more of a necessary evil, especially in regards to the battery slowing down stuff with Apple. Also, Marquez... Chat wants to know what the K is for in MKBHD.
I was lobbying how long it would take for someone to ask that. First caller. All right. Dope. I
appreciate
that. Thank
you for the question, Zach. Appreciate you. God bless you.
The K is my middle initial,
in case obvious.
Anyone was wondering. So that's what that is. It's, but, so yeah, did you hear about the iPhone?
Yes.
The battery controversy and all that? For anyone who hasn't, I guess to make it super simple, like Apple... smartly realizes that the iPhone's battery isn't perfect and doesn't last forever. As batteries do, they age. So it can't maintain the same massive changes in voltages as when it was a brand new phone as when it's 2 years old. So when Apple sees an iPhone get a software update and they see, oh, it has a 2-year-old battery, they underclock the processor, they slow it down a bit so that the battery can keep up and doesn't degrade too fast.
Mm-hmm.
Smart, right? What they didn't tell anyone was any of that. So now someone had to do a benchmark and find, oh, Apple underclocks the CPUs of old phones, period. That seems like a bad thing to do. Like, oh, you're slowing it down. And when someone's iPhone slows down, what do they think? I need a new phone, right?
Sure.
I don't think I need a new battery.
Yeah.
But if you replace the battery of an old iPhone,
but can you?
Just like new. So you could pay Apple for it, and they would replace your battery, or you could get a third party to do it for however many dollars. But basically when everyone found out and they were super angry about the fact that all you needed was a new battery, they lowered the amount they charged for a battery upgrade from $79 to $29 or something like that. People still got mad about charging for it, but, like, let's be real.
$29 is reasonable.
So that's pretty good.
To renew your phone.
The lesson is communication, just like with YouTube.
Well, they were clearly capitalizing on that misunderstanding for many years.
Definitely.
They could have easily... You know, they were enjoying people buying new phones,
clearly. I would never doubt that there was conversations at Apple where they were like, well, you know what we'll do? You know, batteries, you know, they go through the whole thing and they're like, well, people are going to buy new iPhones when their phone slows down.
Right.
Yeah, they are. But if they want a battery upgrade, yeah, that's cool too.
Yeah.
We'll charge for that too. Yeah. But there was a really good analogy by one of my friends, Quinn, who's a YouTuber, who mentioned, like, you wouldn't get mad at, like, Acura for not replacing your tires. Like, tires wear, they get old, and after a while, your car starts to skid, mm-hmm. and you can't, like, take turns the same way, and it's like, man, I think I need a new car. But people don't understand the entirety of how cars work, and all they need is new tires. Should they replace your tires for free? No, they'll still charge for it. But
I guess the difference being that that's a more intuitive difference. You can see right. your tires are balding, and that's yeah. why you're skidding out.
Where Which made it a good analogy, but I think people don't get how iPhones work.
Yeah, and it's not really intuitive, and they didn't really take the initiative to educate anyone because they were enjoying everybody buying new phones every year.
So apparently they're gonna push a software update that lets you pick.
That's great.
You choose. Huh. That's cool.
That is very cool.
That's not something I would have expected Apple to ever do. But they'll let you pick between.
They got in a lot of shit for that.
Crush my battery. CPU. It's all good.
So basically, old phones were faced with the choice of either your battery life
will be trash.
Will be trash. Or your phone will slow down.
So now you'll have a button to
pick. What would you choose?
It's a tough one.
I would pick
changing my battery for $30.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I would say keep crushing my battery, and eventually when it dies, I'll get a new one.
Yeah.
I think that's what I would do.
I think there was definitely internal conversations, and also the conclusion to be like, and let's not tell anyone about this because we're making a fuckload of money from it.
Yeah. And now whatever money they made, they've made it, and now they have a button.
And now they're buying Netflix and Tesla, and we are all screwed. All right. One last question for you.
Sure.
This is customary. We ask it of all of our guests. It's a little strange.
Okay.
Feel free to say no. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't apply to you, that's okay. We get that all the time. Do you have any ghost stories or paranormal experiences, UFO, alien visitations, anything strange or paranormal? Has it ever happened to you?
Wow. I don't think I can think of any. I've watched those shows where I, like, think about it. I actually have a hilarious story about my childhood, which has nothing, very little to do with it.
Okay, I'll take
First
that.
First time? Okay, that'll be it. So, when I was a really little kid, we watched E.T., which is, you know, if you've watched E.T., it's a pretty weird-looking alien. Like,
yeah.
So we watch it. I'm probably, like, 8 or 9 or something. My sister can vouch for this. Like, after, backstory to the backstory, in my bedroom, in my house, we have these closets with these automatically turning on lights, motion sensors. So if you open the closet door, it sees the motion, it opens, turns on the light. So that's cool. So after we watch the movie E.T., I go up to my room to go to sleep, trying to go to sleep. Closet door is open. I'm thinking about aliens. Boom. Closet light turns on for no reason. I freak out. I lose it. I'm like, E.T. is in my closet. I don't know what to do. Like, where do I go? I scream. My parents come upstairs. They're like, what? I'm like, E.T. is in my closet. E.T. wasn't in my closet. It was just a
spoiler
weird
alert.
Paranormal light turning on for no reason. But from that day on, I really don't like E.T.
I've heard that a lot. E.T. is kind of creepy.
Poor E.T.
It's hard to handle for kids.
It's kind of a weird... if you look up pictures of it, like, that's a weird...
Let me pull up some pics of E.T. and tell me, E.T.
It's a weird dude.
Is that enough just to get? I feel like enough times passed where if I type ET, maybe something else comes up.
ET scene?
No.
ET. Isn't that?
Like, still no, we comes got out. ET for days, my dude.
Dude. And like the.
Look
this
at his
like,
face, bro. You wake up faced with that.
This was
not a nice looking face.
Like 10 years ago, the movie was like this like clay caricature. So it was like you could see like texture in it. And it was just weird.
Right.
Like wrinkles. Man.
I wonder why they made him so.
So odd.
Back in the day, man, they just didn't give a fuck. Steven Spielberg, right?
Yeah, man.
Was it Spielberg? His finger looks like a cigar.
It does.
Yeah, it looked like that. But it
moved. Oh, my God. Imagine this peeking out from the darkness.
Exactly. Imagine the closet light turning on for no reason. It's crazy.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah,
man.
And more than that, thank you for coming. Yeah. I know you had a really busy, tight schedule. I really appreciate you making the time to come spend the day with us or the evening with
Absolutely.
Us. It's
Anytime.
Great. Appreciated your time. It was a lot of fun.
This was real.
Thank
I'll
you,
be on
man.
Again.
Appreciate you. God bless.
Thank you, yeah.
Guys, everybody, thank you for watching. Next week, we are having the great and wonderful Jordan Peterson back on the podcast for a second visit. Very much looking forward to that. That's at an unusual day, right, Dan? What day is that
on? Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be on Thursday next week.
I'm going to post on the subreddit right now.
At what time?
Two. I think, 2.
1 hour.
Normally at 3, but an hour early.
Yeah. So please tune in for that. Until then, I hope you all have a great weekend and a great week. And I hope that you are not having ET in your closet, feeling safe and comfortable at home. And we wish you all the best. So see you guys next time. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.